It's time to catch the beat for Market Street on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Your community radio station is in the heart of the action in downtown Champaign, and Catch the Beat brings highlights of local news, arts, culture, and issues to pay attention to. I'm your host, Cope Cumston, and I'm very pleased to welcome to the show two students at the University of Illinois, Georgia Kmitrashevich and Josh Robinson, who are part of the registered student organization on campus, Red Bison, which focuses on practicing restoration ecology through native Illinois landscapes. And so I ran into you the other Saturday morning when you were out for a work day with Red Bison. Let's start by explaining what's Red Bison focused on.
We manage the South Arboretum Woods, which is part of the University of Illinois Arboretum. It's by the Sustainable Student Farm, or at least where it used to be. I believe it will be moving. And most of our work days occur out there. We also do a lot of work days in the local community, you know, with local park district. We have an organization called Grand Prairie Friends. We'll do prairie burns with and forest burns with, things like that. And usually our work days are things like removing invasive species, things like autumn olive, honeysuckle. Sometimes we'll plant trees. We also have some long-term restoration projects, such as one going on at the Atkins Golf Course, which is also associated with the University of Illinois. We've been doing some invasive removal there, and we're planning on planting some native trees in April.
And how did the two of you get involved with this? Let's start with you, Josh, and take it from there.
I had just started learning what restoration was the summer before college, so I wanted to see if anyone on campus was doing it. And I remember the first event I went to was acorn collecting on campus, where I showed up and someone handed me a Home Depot bucket and told me to fill it with as many acorns as possible.
You know, my daughter used to run cross country at Urbana High School, and they always had to collect all the acorns before the races. It was so funny.
That was my start, and I've kept showing up ever since then.
Yeah. Well, now you said something about your Red Bison being so inspiring that you changed your major. What's that bit?
Yeah, I was in aerospace engineering when I came to campus and realized that career-wise, there weren't a lot of options that aligned with my values in aerospace. There weren't a lot of career options to begin with as far as the cities you can live in, you know, only so many places. And I enjoyed every single day going out doing Red Bison stuff and then learned there's a whole undergrad track for restoration ecology and decided I should be doing that instead.
And Georgia, what about you?
Yeah, so I entered college knowing I wanted to do something nature focused. I started out in natural resources and environmental science, which is what Josh is currently in. I did end up changing over to integrative biology, as well as a major in earth environment or earth society and environmental sustainability, just because that had some more kind of hardcore biology and earth science courses, which is just like what I was personally curious about.
How would you define integrative biology?
Honestly, the website doesn't do a great job of explaining it. It just says biology and integrative approach. And kind of what that means is sort of trying to, you know, not gear the major toward one career, give students several options. And, you know, we have several core courses in evolution, ecology, physiology, and genetics. So trying to kind of expose students to kind of every aspect of biology. And then, you know, from there, they can take the degree to doing pre-med, to doing conservation, to doing organismal biology and research and stuff like that. And so I knew that I wanted to do conservation, you know, possibly research in the future. So I decided that that was kind of what I wanted to go with.
And you're both juniors, so you're pretty far in.
Yeah.
One of the questions that always comes up for me is, what does the name Red Bison come from?
Red Bison, the explanation of the name has been passed down, you know, since it started in 95. It's been that Red Bison is a word for prairie fire, because if you look at the fire, you know, traveling quickly across the prairie, it looks like a herd of red bison, you know, kicking up smoke, kicking up dust.
I've seen a prairie fire, but not moving like that. Do you participate in prairie burns in town? Talk a little bit about what that's about and what the experience is like.
It's exhilarating. It's really mostly about checking the weather. Burns are always last minute and require such perfect conditions to be done safely. It means missing class. It means getting up early on the weekend. It means you get out there whenever the conditions are right, or else the burn's not going to happen.
And what's the purpose of a burn?
Fires have historically maintained prairie. You can't have prairie without regular disturbance like fire. Prairies are very much human-made and human-kept systems. Before European settlement, the prairies were maintained through indigenous peoples lighting fires across the landscape and maintaining areas as prairie.
How big an area do you burn in one session?
Everywhere from 1,400 square feet to 20 acres, 80 acres. It just depends on the site and the conditions and how much needs to burn.
Do you get fire trucks out there in case you need to control it?
We'll have backpacks that are specially made full of water and have them stationed at certain places. And then more modern equivalent of that, a lot of places have some sort of small vehicle with a water tank in the back and electric pump with a hose that can kind of drive around the perimeter and give the whole edge a nice soaking before we light the inside.
Do you work with the Forest Preserve when you do a burn?
Usually not the Forest Preserve District. We'll go out and volunteer with Grand Prairie Friends, also local people who want to burn their land, and the university natural areas managers when they burn university-owned property.
And when is that done, in the spring?
Fall and spring are usually, we try to get it done during the dormant season. In the middle of winter, you can't really burn because it's just too wet, but the two burn seasons are kind of late fall and very early spring.
Now, are there any scheduled for around now?
Tomorrow at 11 a.m.
Really? Where?
Just north of the South Arboretum Woods in the Palmitarian Prairie. We'll be out there burning it.
I'm going to come watch. What time?
11 a.m.
Okay. I walk at the Pollinatarium a lot. Well, tell me about some of the projects that Red Bison is engaged in, some of the ongoing things that you keep an eye on. Georgia, let's give you the mic.
The thing that we're currently working on right now that's, I think, kind of the biggest scope is we're working on a lot of restoration at Atkins Golf Course, which is affiliated with the university. You know, golf courses historically are not very sustainable institutions for environmental reasons. And so, you know, if they're going to exist, we want to help make them as sustainable as we can. And so we have been doing some invasive removal. We have some trees ordered to go plant. And kind of the way that we did all this was just proposing a grant to the Student Sustainability Committee. They allow grants for students and RSOs for their sustainability initiatives at the university. And so we were able to apply for a grant, get funding. We have been working with natural resources, environmental sciences, Professor Dr. Mike Ward, to help arrange the work days, to map out the areas we're going to be working on, to remove invasives and to order some native trees to plant. And we're looking to extend the project into the next several years to do some more work with bird and bat boxes, possibly to start restoring more areas than just what we've been working on, and to kind of just make things as sustainable as we can, provide some good habitat for wildlife and things like that.
And where is the Atkins Golf Course?
Oh God, I'm directionally challenged. I'm quite sure it is east of the university. Josh is nodding. It's east of the university. Yeah. It's not too far. I think it's for like a 10-minute drive.
On Windsor.
And it's pretty large. I remember the first time we went there to kind of check out the site, we were using like golf carts. I guess, yeah, that's what they're for. Yeah, it's a lot of land. It's a lot of land that is very, you know, water intensive, takes a lot of fertilizers and things like that to keep it looking how the university wants it to look. And so we just want to help it be a little more sustainable and a little more of an ecologically important.
Yeah, when I think golf course, I immediately think a lot of fertilizer, a lot of water, and probably some pesticides. So have you had conversations with them about how they maintain the grass?
Yeah, I think it's a big topic for all golf courses, you know, especially given like the current climate of, you know, trying to increase sustainability initiatives kind of all over the US. It's a big conversation a lot of people are having, and a lot of golf courses other than Atkins have started doing things about it, changing up their watering schedules, types of fertilizers and pesticides they're using, and creating these little pockets of habitat that we're doing right now. And so we observed those things, and Dr. Ward came to us and said, you know, he had been in contact with an employee at Atkins, and they had talked about maybe trying to make things a little bit more sustainable. And that's kind of how the whole thing came about.
Just recently in the news is the change in administration over the Arboretum and Allerton, the creation of a new administrative unit at the university, the Division of Parks and Natural Spaces.
Yeah.
How do you see that changing the footprint of the Arboretum and how it's maintained and your role in it?
I think hopefully it'll be for the better. I was talking to Dr. Ward earlier this week, and he said that he thinks it'll be good. You know, we're going to have more resources. We're going to have more dedicated people kind of working to make both Allerton and the Arboretum more visible to the university. And we're really unsure about it. You know, we're still in the transition phase, but things are looking good so far. And I think that I'm pretty happy about how things are going. You know, I'm excited to see how this changes, how much power we have over the saw and what we can do with it, and, you know, getting some more support from faculty
and more resources, hopefully.
I'd say one thing to that in the transitions, making me personally a little nervous that the contracts for current Arboretum staff are going to be up in the fall. They're going to be losing their jobs, and we don't have a clear replacement lined up. As far as, like, I don't know who's going to be mowing the pathways in the saw or how that everyday help is going to come in. Long term, we'll have more support for like doing burns and more trained people in natural areas management. But some of that day to day stuff hasn't been exactly finalized yet.
That sounds concerning if people are losing their jobs without a plan.
Yeah, it was definitely a big conversation we had at the beginning of the semester of talking about. We didn't know yet. We hadn't been in contact with anyone, and we were nervous about, you know, what if they decide to just make the saw another residence hall, which I do not think is going to happen. But there was definitely a lot of uncertainty about it, and there still is in terms of a lot of people's jobs and day-to-day stuff. And even though we know some more information, and I'm hopeful in a lot of ways, we're still very much in the transition. We don't really know what's going to happen.
Then there's the new building that has been proposed as part of the extension services for bordering on Lincoln near Windsor. In a plan that was, I think, dated 2021, so the ideas have changed quite a bit. They were looking at it as almost a welcome center to the Arboretum in the South Campus. What do you know about how that will impact? Now, let me also say, when you say saw, you mean South Arboretum Woods, just so people
Yeah, that's what we kind of call it. Is
Yeah, just, no, that's fine.
Saw, yeah.
Just so we make it clear. What are you aware of with that? Because there's a lot of large trees being removed from inside those woods, because I'm in those woods a lot.
The trees being removed from the saw right now aren't a part of the extension project. Those trees were planted back so long ago as part of a street tree horticultural experiment. And they are non-native Norway maples and actually kind of invasive. If you walk around the saw, you'll see they're putting out seeds everywhere and kind of really coming up and choking out the understory in a lot of places. So the goal with that project is to just remove these large seed producing trees, and we have money and plans this spring to put in native hickories and mostly food bearing native plants It's kind of part of this broad thing universities calling the teaching gardens to essentially have an example of a native landscape which provides abundant food for people.
The university does seem to come to the Arboretum as a teaching tool off and on. There are those two pits that have been dug, one near Japan House and one out by your little shed at the South Arboretum. And what those are supposed to show the layers of strata of the soil, is that what they are?
Yeah, they're for soil horizons. I don't know if they do this anymore, but when I was a freshman and I went to the orientation day for natural resources and environmental science, they use it as a tool to kind of teach about, different natural resources topics of concern. And one of them was going to the woods and looking at the soil horizons and talking about especially how Illinois soil is really important and what it consists of and stuff like that. I believe they also use it for classes, which I think Josh can probably talk more on because he's taken the soil science class.
Anything you'd like to share about that?
The pits are used by everyone. I've seen so many different groups of people out there looking at the soil pits.
Never see anybody, and they
I've
kind of look
seen,
abandoned.
yes, last time I saw them being used, some state archaeologists were being trained on identifying different soil types, and they were out there using the pit by the shed.
Okay, good. That's good to know.
We do have some more pits in some more hidden places of the saw that are kind of overgrown by some invasive understory, but there are, I think, there's at least one or two more.
Yeah, there's one more to the west of the saw, kind of tucked far away.
Well, it's interesting to know that the university is so engaged with this, because I remember how disappointing it was when the forestry department was finished. Missing that a lot, the annual Christmas tree sale and all of that. I really missed the forestry students.
They're coming back, I'll tell you that.
Are they?
There's been a new hire, Justin Vozo, leaving forestry, and he's been working up with us a lot in the South Arboretum Woods.
Oh, fantastic.
They're undergraduate hires, and we've been getting a lot of help from the forestry department out there now.
So there is a forestry department on campus still.
There is,
Yeah.
yeah. It's after Jay left, a lot of stuff was kind of just left out there, so it's been a lot of work for them, kind of putting pieces back together and getting back up to speed, but they're back.
What would you like to see develop out of the work in the Arboretum?
I think we have some projects we've definitely been thinking about. We've been thinking about installing an ephemeral wetland, so digging up an area to fill up with water seasonally and be a habitat for some wetland species, some frogs, some more wetland native plants, things like that. I think there's a lot of projects that we have in mind that, it would be nice to get the resources to really take action for those things.
So you'll be collaborating with university departments to develop those projects?
Yeah, Justin said he'll dig the pit for us.
Yeah, you got some power tools out there.
Oh, yes.
What other projects does Red Bison get involved with?
We have our burns and we have our Atkins work days. In terms of specific projects, because Josh works more at the Arboretum, he would probably know, but we're removing the Norway maples. And I believe we also have a prairie plot kind of more facing Lincoln Avenue that we're working on.
Where is that? Is that closer to Windsor?
Yeah, this is like right on the corner of Lincoln and Windsor. It's been real nice watching this prairie kind of establish. It was seeded right when we got to school here. So we've kind of every year we've looked at it. It's been remarkably better, just as it takes some of the seeds a few years to germinate, takes some of the plants a few years to grow and flower. So every year it's just kind of more abundant and more diverse. And there have been some problems with invasive species in there, but with help from Arboretum staff and us going out there with sickles at the right time of year, it's been fine.
I didn't realize that there was a prairie restoration happening out there because it kind of looks like it's deserted. And then they have the road because they're bringing in the trucks to do some of the tree removal, I think.
I think in the winter months and like super late fall, early spring, prairies definitely look pretty brown and maybe a little flat, just because of that's how they kind of explode in the spring, summer, fall with all of these different plants. But then things go dormant for the winter and it is pretty brown for the most part.
Well, Illinois is pretty brown in the winter.
Yeah, for sure.
Does Red Bison do any outreach sort of education programs trying to tell students what you're about?
Yeah, we'll table at different events and kind of advertise stuff then. Some of us have also gone to an elementary school in town and talked to some kids. They were very young, so we mostly just taught them what plants were, but it was still fun.
That's great. Well, the Planetarium does a lot of outreach in local schools, and it's great to get the kids out there.
Yeah, most of what we do is through our work days. We're a registered student organization, so pretty much every week we're taking a group of, fellow exec members and other U of I students, and even people who have graduated from U of I will still come and help us with burns or work days and hang out, and we'll teach people about plant ID, about the importance of fire, talk about ecology of woodlands, of prairies, whatever we're restoring. And I think that's just my favorite part of the whole club is you see a lot of people get more excited about plant ID, about wildlife ID, about what a natural landscape in Illinois should look like. Because a lot of people just don't know what Illinois looked like a really long time ago. And I think I also, we try to integrate the history of Indigenous people in maintaining prairies through fire, through disturbance. We try to talk about things like bison and how they've shaped our landscapes and how, a lot of these factors that have shaped our ecosystems aren't here anymore. So we need to step up and bring those disturbances and help keep Illinois healthy.
Were there ever bison here? Was that part of our ecosystem?
There was a bison migration path that went right through Urbana, pretty much.
Really?
The bison would come through here regularly.
North, south, east, west.
East Urbana.
Have you heard anything about this new extension building that's supposed to go in at the corner of Lincoln and Windsor?
I have. I've been working with the Arboretum with that, and it's not going to be right on the corner. It's going to be north of the old turf farms. So it's kind of in a weird spot where no one's really done anything with it for quite a few decades. It's not managed by anyone. There were some nice native trees in there that we actually hired a contractor, and we big scoop took them out of the ground. And moved them across the street. So in a lot of the other trees there, like non-native ornamental trees and other trees that we have lots of already, I guess.
As someone who walks in the South Arboretum a lot, I was impressed when I saw the shed going up and then the fire pit and a bench just off the road that goes from Windsor to the Planetarium. Was that all for Red Bison?
Yes, all of that came through SSC grants and assistance from the university. And the memorial bench is for a former Red Bison member, not someone any of us knew personally. They were before our time, but it's nice to kind of have that for them right there in the area where we work. Yeah, all that shed is full of Red Bison's stuff, tools, burn suits, flappers, herbicide, seed collecting tools, stuff that should have been thrown out 20 years ago.
How many students are involved in Red Bison?
A lot. I would say that we have the biggest numbers during the beginning of the year in fall, when the weather is warm. When the weather cools down, we don't stop working. We're still out there, besides winter break usually. And we usually get fewer numbers then, but we still usually have a group of people, who are always there and want to help out. And whether we have a big or small group, we keep working. I don't know how many people we have on the email list exactly or the Discord, but I think it's at least 100 people who are getting our newsletter and our
I
announcements.
think every time we put out an announcement, it goes to over 400 people on the Discord. So quite a few people.
How would local people get in touch with you if they wanted to, say, come help with a burn or just help on a Saturday morning?
Redbison.org.
Redbison.org has our email list, it has our Discord and social medias, and redbison.rso@gmail.com is our kind of general email that we communicate with. We also communicate quite a bit just with our personal emails of the exec board as well.
And you have social gatherings too, don't you?
Yes. Actually, that fire pit that you mentioned, we do a lot of collabs with the Wildlife Society, the student chapter. I'm actually also exec for that club. So, you know, we've done joint bonfires there. A lot of time we'll just hang out after work days and stuff like that. And then we also do socials in the sense of sometimes we'll go out hiking, bird watching, go to surrounding areas like Allerton or Busey Woods, which is both of which are some of my personal favorites. And then we'll do stuff like that to just kind of build some community between people. When we need funding, we usually go to the SSC, the Student Sustainability Committee. Like I mentioned, they give out grants for meeting the university's sustainability initiatives, and that's really kind of what we're geared toward. So most of what we've been doing is going to them for grants with, you know, our golf course project, with our ephemeral pond project, and then also staff from the Arboretum help us out.
We're running out of time. Is there anything else you would like to let people know about Red Bison and the work you do, support you need?
I would say just like people getting excited and getting involved is my favorite part of the club. And I love just socializing with people. I love learning from what other people know and also helping teach people about stuff like plant ID, bird ID, stuff like that. You know, people get excited over learning new things. And I think that's kind of what we're all about. And if, you know, people are interested in having us work on their land, you know, there's a lot of landowners around here, local people who have things like plots of prairie or forest, you know, we're always willing to help people out with stuff like that.
I'd love to see more local involvement, community involvement with Red Bison projects. You know, there's high turnover being a student group, and having some of those more steady present figures in the group, I think would be very helpful as far as maintaining institutional knowledge and having kind of the follow through as a group to finish projects that take longer than 4 years.
What time do your Saturday mornings start?
We usually meet at the SAW at 10 a.m., not 9, 10.
Okay. I will make it a point to be watching out for you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. That wraps up our time for this week's Catch the Beat. My thanks again to Georgia Gamitrashevich and Josh Robinson of Red Bison RSO on the U of I campus, who spend their weekends working hard in our community to bring practices of restoration ecology to the South Arboretum and other areas. You can find out more about Red Bison at redbison.org. When you see the signs of the recent prairie burns at the Pollinatarium and the Arboretum, and the clearing of the huge Norway maples in the Arboretum woods, which are actually invasive species, you know that Red Bison has been active. All past episodes of Catch the Beat are archived at WEF.org under our public affairs listings, with thanks to Creative Commons for intro and outro music by Kevin MacLeod. You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is Cope Cumston with Catch the Beat, and I will see you next time.